you just don't realize how hard it is to come up with a topic for Saturday morning. I mean, there's like no information out there. Okay, I'm just joking. That's not true. Oh, boy. Welcome to the program today. I'm Roy Morgan, D.C. Glad to be with you. Man, no, I'm sort of joking about that because there's so much incredible information. But you know what the point is? Do you have an open mind? Is it okay to question anything that somebody says about health? Absolutely it is. And I think that's probably pretty balanced and constructive. If somebody says, you know what, I've had problems with my heart, I think I've read the American Heart Association's recommendation to eat ocean fish twice a week. Well, personally, I think that's like a brilliant plan by the American Heart Association to recommend a person eat salmon twice a week. One simple tidbit of information that I'm thinking about right now, and I realize this is going to be maybe a little unsettling, but when you buy meat, and the meat has been raised in such a way where the animal was fed massive amounts of antibiotics, and I mean massive, and the animal was placed on hormones to stimulate tremendous growth. Because you know what the bottom line is? If you can take an animal and make it grow a whole lot faster than what a natural animal would, then you can turn it for a buck or for a profit sooner. So that's probably the bottom line. When you eat meat that comes from animals raised on antibiotics and hormones, guess what you're eating? That's right. You're getting the antibiotics and the hormones. And which, I don't want to make this topic too deep, but that does not improve your health. All it does is it makes you weaker. You know what the bottom line is? When you have antibiotics, you cannot get them out of the water supply. And let me tell you what I'm thinking of. I don't have the article in front of me, but years ago, there was like a news piece. It might have been from Reuters or from Associated Press. But they were looking at one of the municipal water supplies in a large city in Dallas area. And I think it was either Irving or Arlington, but I'm positive it was Arlington, Texas. And what they were doing is they were just trying to measure the amount of antibiotic residue in the treated water. Well, guess what? They can't get antibiotics out of the water. That means if somebody is sick, for example, like with double pneumonia, that would be a pretty good reason to take antibiotics so they don't die. Or if somebody had an active case of cellulitis or a bad wicked staph infection that's taken over their body, or streptococcus. You know, that's what antibiotics are for. Now, we're not here to talk about whether or not antibiotics are overused, as in way, way, way overused, because the answer is they are. What I want to focus on is they were saying that in the city of Arlington, they had no ability to remove the antibiotic residue from the drinking water. That means if you drink the tap water, so like if you go to Six Flags or you go to a baseball game and see the Texas Rangers play, well, guess what you're drinking? You're drinking antibiotics. And these are things that make you much, much weaker. Does that make sense? And so, is there an application here? You know what they said. Sorry, I know I'm jumping around. Please forgive me. What they said was the only way they could actively destroy all the drugs and antibiotics. So when somebody took an antibiotic and they went to the bathroom, well, it's going to go into the toilet, and the toilet's going to take it through the sewage system to the sewage treatment plant or the water treatment facility where they try to clean up the water and reclaim it. So they're trying to remove the toxic waste from the water and then in turn recycle the water so it can be run through the water lines again, and you can turn on your tap water and wash the machine and everything else and take a shower in it, and you bingo, you've got some reclaimed water. Well, they're just saying that it can't be removed. They said the only way to remove the pharmaceutical drugs and the antibiotics from the water was to take the sludge and burn it in an incinerator. Almost like, you know, you think in the terms of cremation. They got to burn that stuff up. Okay? Well, we know that ain't happening. No. And so you know what you're up against. There's no such thing as the Garden of Eden where there are no toxins. Oh, I wish there were. That would be my top recommendation every day to a person with major issues. Go spend some time in the Garden of Eden. rest up, detoxify, get clean, and then when you're done, come back out. And then I have about 7.7 billion other people that need to spend some time in the Garden of Eden. Okay, I know that's fantasy world. Okay, under normal, ideal circumstances, this is the way it's supposed to be. The female vaginal reproductive area is supposed to be coated with a type of a bacteria called lactobacillus. Sometimes it's called lactobacilli acidophili. Okay. But what happens is, if you got plenty of these good beneficial bacteria, what they do is you give them a place to live. It's called the female reproductive area. And they, in turn, they make lactic acid. And guess what lactic acid does? Lactic acid, when it coats that tissue, it makes it very inhospitable for other toxic germs and fungus and parasites to grow and live. And so when the baby is in the womb, the baby is supposed to come through from a very sterile place, which is the womb. And when it's born, it comes through the birth canal. And all those beneficial bacteria, they cling to the baby. And this is one of the things that stimulates the baby to have a great immune system. So to me, this is becoming more and more fascinating as the research comes out. And so when the baby begins to nurse or breastfeed, which I know that may be a shock to some people, but it's not to us, it's God's perfect food for a baby. And guess what happens the moment the baby latches on? They're getting a mouthful of billions of lactobacilli and bifidobacterium. And these are things that transform the baby into an energy-making, growing machine that becomes super smart and healthy. So there's really, really good news for kids that are born vaginally. And also there's great news for mamas that make a concerted effort to breastfeed. I've had so many women tell me that they couldn't give up coffee or soft drinks or alcohol. But the moment they become pregnant, all of a sudden they have this motivation, which you got to give them big time credit for that. So thank you, mothers, for thinking first about the health and the well-being and also about the future of your child, because what you do when the child's in the womb and what you do when the child's born has everything to do with how good of a life the kid's going to have as far as health goes. I mean, there's more factors that are other equally important. And so here's one of the things that I want to convince you of this morning. Besides the female vaginal area, every square inch of your body is literally covered by good beneficial bacteria. And one of the places where you have the highest concentrations of all time is in your gut. And if I say the word gut, I'm referring to the entirety of your digestive tract. And so every square inch of your gut is supposed to be coated by these good beneficial bacteria. Guess who wins? You do, when you have plenty of bacteria. What happens when you have a bunch of toxic bacteria? Well, things go very, very badly across the board. So if you have enough of these good gut microbes, what they do is they produce very specific compounds. And what they do is they help prime your own natural God-given immune cells to destroy harmful viruses in the brain and the nervous system. Oh yeah, I'm just choosing one location. So if you have good flora in your gut, what'll happen is it protects your brain and your nerves from harmful viruses and toxic compounds. Here's a study right here. All right, this one I'm going to read to you. I got this from Thomas Verney, MD, which I like Thomas Verney. Oh, I think he's a cool guy. Here's a study. Notably, a study from the Department of Pathology at the University of Utah Health, Salt Lake City. They've shown that mice treated with antibiotics, which you got to understand, antibiotics also, besides killing the bad bacteria and germs, they also kill the good ones. So mice treated with antibiotics before the onset of disease, that means they gave them the antibiotics before they were sick with something, they were unable to defend themselves. You got that? These mice had a weak immune response. They were unable to eliminate the virus, and they developed worsening paralysis. while those with the normal gut bacteria were better able to fight off the virus. Of course, what they were looking at viruses that paralyze the body. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes I'm curious when somebody tells me they have sleep paralysis, or if somebody says, I have a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. Well, when you take antibiotics, guess what happens? You prevent your immune cells from doing their job. Isn't that interesting? Now, obviously, if you need antibiotics because you're near death, take them, please. Okay. What else did I read right here? This is from a different article. And I know this is like simplistic, but I mean, you dig this and I do too. When you have a healthy and diverse microbiota, that's probably the term for your good gut microbiome or all the good beneficial bacteria, that if this is turning out to be one of the most crucial parts of your body and your immune system when you have a viral infection. And so there's a lot of viral infections that are going on. As a matter of fact, I think they have Shanghai, China quarantined, complete with razor wire and the Chinese army surrounding it, not letting anybody in, and they're certainly not letting anybody out. But they're showing that certain viruses that attack the nervous system, that would lead to things like multiple sclerosis. So here's the point. If you've been prescribed antibiotics to treat an infection, it is imperative that you make an effort to restore your microbiome. You know, there's a lot of people that have worked so hard on trying to make sure that their gut and their microbiome is healthy. They just become so distressed when they have to take an antibiotic. But I'm not against the proper use of those things. I'm for it. But if you have to have an antibiotic because you've got a really legitimate infection, then get it. Have your doctor prescribe you the right one. But if you've had that, well, what you got to do is, as soon as you start to feel better, well, you need to start restoring your microbiome as fast as possible. And some of the simple ways you can do that, what if you started consuming probiotic-rich foods? One of my favorites of all times to help recondition the gut and help it to heal would be sauerkraut. But the sauerkraut needs to be raw. And of course, today, it's incredible. You can go into almost any health food store and you can find raw cabbage. I mean, raw sauerkraut. It came from cabbage. And you find it usually in the refrigerated department because it hasn't been pasteurized. Pasteurization is a process to kind of, quote, sterilize to make sure there's nothing alive in there. That's really not what you want. What you want is you want the living stuff. So whether it's there's even forms of kombucha that are just excellent, but the kinds you want are not the kind that come in the can that's been pasteurized. No, no, no. You want the ones that are refrigerated where you've got to keep them cool to keep them alive. So whether you're consuming good friendly bacteria from eating fermented foods, that could be kimchi. I like kimchi. I'm kind of new to kimchi, but I like it. Some forms of yogurt and kefir water and kombucha. Sauerkraut is so hard to beat, or the simple one. The simple thing for the average American is just taking a probiotic. They like everything easy. There are places in the world where you can't just walk into a store and say, I would like a probiotic that has 50 billion gut microbes that are fine-tuned to my body. They don't have that. But they have fermented foods. And so fermented foods, that would be one of the things you're looking at. Maybe I should come up with a phrase, a sauerkraut a day keeps the doctor away. I wonder if that'll catch on. Somewhere, I think somebody tried to come up with an idea that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I think it's proven to be true. Okay, two studies here. One in mice and the other in human beings. And what these do is they point to the idea of exercise and keeping a very healthy gut microbiome. So besides maybe a forkful of sauerkraut or fermented pickles or fermented beets, actually I could eat fermented pickles every single day. Those are the ones also. They got to be refrigerated. They haven't been pasteurized. And they are teeming with beneficial bacteria that your body needs. A gentleman by the name of Jeffrey Woods He is a University of Illinois professor of kinesiology. I like that. He showed that exercised mice, they had a much higher proportion of good beneficial gut microbes that produce a substance called butyrate. And butyrate is a short-chain fatty acid. Guess what it does? It promotes healthy intestinal cells. It reduces inflammation, and it generates energy for its host. How do we translate that? If you're a human being and you've got gut issues, or maybe you've got a touch of colon cancer, and you have everything is swollen and inflamed and painful all the time, and you're exhausted and fatigued, well, guess what? You might be a really tremendous benefactor or recipient of the blessings that come from butyrate. Well, how do you get butyrate? Well, number one, you get it from butter. And number two, those aren't in order, by the way, or the way that you're supposed to get it, is if you have enough good beneficial bacteria, because what they do is when those bacteria or microbes are in your gut, yeah, guess what? You don't have as much inflammation. You tend to digest your food better. You produce more compounds that give you energy. Is it possible to have too much energy? I don't think so. And so they accomplish this just through exercise. And so you tell me, do you move your body enough? Movement is life. Guess what else is shown? These mice that they exercised, they also appear to be more resistant to experimental ulcerative colitis, which is an autoimmune inflammatory bowel disease. It said the effect was much more pronounced in lean compared to obese adult mice, because they actually took some pretty obese mice and they put it to the test also. They benefited, but not as much as when they were leaner, which I'm sure there's a whole message in that statement right there. Now get this right here. This one is the one that I like a whole lot, because I had a gentleman tell me this week, and this is what he said. He says, Dr. Morgan, the number one way that I keep my bowels regular and I keep my bowels in good working order is I eat avocados. And see, I dig stuff like that. I like it when people give me what helps them. Just laying it out there. I can't hear that enough. And plus, it's really, really good to say out loud or write down what helps you. It kind of etches it in your mind and your heart and your brain, so that way you don't have a hard time remembering what to do. And it's almost kind of comical. If a person's dehydrated and you teach them what to do to correct it, they tell you in about a week that they feel amazing and everything's fine. But guess what? What do they do when they fall off the wagon? Well, you got to remind them again. Okay, listen to this right here. This comes from the University of Illinois. Okay, it's been known for some time that avocados help you feel full. Now, there's a message in there. If you can fill your body up with the very thing that it needs, nutrient-wise, you're not going to be craving all the sugar and the junk food. It's as simple as that. So avocados, they help you to feel full. That's a bonus. That's a win right there. And number two, they reduce your blood cholesterol. Now, what I'm going to say is, the only way that you have lower blood cholesterol is if you're healthier. That's the way to do it. If you want to take a drug to do it, you can, but is that going to produce tremendous health? Well, you don't have to take my word for it. Do your own research. Google everything you want about taking statin drugs. See if they improve health. See what you come up with. Okay, scientists at the University of Illinois found that people who ate avocados every day as part of a meal, they had a greater abundance of gut microbes that break down fiber and produce compounds and metabolites that support gut health and your immune system. That is a home run right there. Now get this, those that ate avocados every day, they also had a greater microbial diversity compared to people in the control group. So avocados are the new apples. You're probably going to start telling your friends today that an avocado a day keeps the doctor away, right? Okay. You know, there's a lot of people that are getting it right. They're taking vitamin D. Also, for your information, if you can maintain optimal vitamin D concentration, that too has been shown to be extremely beneficial for your gut health. Because one thing that vitamin D does, one of its roles, it's got a whole bunch of stuff that it does that's good and positive. It helps modulate your intestinal gut microbiome. It helps improve the function. It controls what's called antimicrobial peptide expression. That means when you have plenty of vitamin D, your body can make these peptides, which peptides are proteins that help fight infection. Sometimes I sound like a broken record. I don't know how over the last 33 years, I have told so many people, okay, you're going to have to eat some protein. And so when you examine the human body, let me just try to make it sound straightforward. If somebody says, I've lost 30 pounds and don't know why, and they're physically weak and they're rail thin. When I say rail thin, I'm not trying to be critical of anyone. I'm just telling you how it works. If your body is eating itself, if your system is cannibalizing you, then you're going to lose weight. Well, guess what? One of the number one predictors of all time of who's going to do well against COVID-19, it's going to be your muscle mass. What's the reason why? Because when your immune system is challenged, and I'm telling you right now, that Delta variant, that could challenge anybody's system, anybody's. Some people are obviously more vulnerable to it than others. But if you have COVID, well, the way that your immune system works, one of the things that has to take place is you've got to use the protein of your muscle and convert that into antibody production. You cannot manufacture, or your immune system, it can't make the antibodies that it needs without protein. That's one of the reasons why you want to have protein in reserve. And that's where a little bit of muscle and strength comes in really, really handy. And the more you move, the better your chances of getting more muscle mass. But guess what the key is? Never underestimate that maybe what you really need is you need protein. You really can't get complete protein from eating vegetables. You just cannot. And I realize that's not going to be a popular statement with some folks. But you got to understand, I'm not trying to be critical against your beliefs on protein from an animal. I'm trying to help you. So you have to decide for yourself, and that's just the way it is. All I can do is just throw the information out there, and you got to decide what you're going to do with it. But at least when you eat fish from the ocean, let's just say wild-caught flounder or halibut or salmon or cod, something like that, guess what they weren't raised on? Well, they weren't raised on antibiotics like chickens are, and they weren't raised on hormones like a lot of the beef and the chickens are. And going backwards, if you're eating that stuff, you're eating sick meat. You are. And so how well are you going to do by eating sick chickens and sick beef raised on hormones and antibiotics? Well, you're not going to do well. That's one of the reasons why we have people that raise grass-fed beef. And yeah, it's an uphill battle for those guys. They have to work so much harder and longer. I really don't know, because I don't raise cows for a living, but I like the people that do that. And I need to make sure I always keep them as my friends, because one day I may be hungry for some calf liver. But it takes so much longer to get a cow up to speed without hormones and steroids and antibiotics, where they can take it to sell. They don't grow near as fast. Well, that's what antibiotics and steroids do. And hormones, they make an animal grow faster. You don't believe that? Go take some prednisone. See how much weight you gain over the next month. I'm guessing 20 pounds. No, don't do that if you don't have to. You always want to find a solution to taking a steroid. I promise you do. It's a rough drug on the body, just like antibiotics are. They change the terrain of your body. And so if you've kind of gotten on the bandwagon that you want to take vitamin D3, I think it's really a smart call on your part. And plus, you're not going to get any criticism from me. I'm going to say, thank you very much. That's great. That shows me that you want to help yourself. And you cannot beat a person that wants to help themselves. They're trying to help themselves. And that's the way that I interpret it. If you're taking vitamin D3 or you're taking zinc, which how can you produce enough immune cells and antibodies without zinc? You can't. Just like you can't without protein. But I would say for the most part, this is almost borderline scary how little protein people eat. let me give you an extra a point here. I do not have the study in front of me, but I still find it so extremely interesting. They showed that they were looking at people that were in their 90s, and I don't have the study in front of me, so just kind of let me tell you what I remember it being. I read this some time ago. They were saying, basically, what's the difference between somebody that's 95 years of age, that can still take care of their own house, they can pay their own bills, they can think, they go to church, they teach ladies Bible class, Sunday school. If you're a man, you're doing devotionals, leading singing, teaching adult Bible class, preaching sermons, visiting the sick and the homeless. But anyway, they just do everything. Just because they're 95 doesn't mean they can't do it. But one of the things that they've studied, what's the difference between somebody that's, or evaluated is what I meant to say, what's the difference between a 95-year-old that has it all together and can take care of themselves and a 70-year-old that's near death? Well, one of the simple things that's been identified is protein. They get about 200 calories more in protein than the one that's 70. Now, let me break it down for you. If you're not basing getting protein... Let me start over. Your body is made of amino acids. I mean, yeah, you're mainly made of water. You get that. You're 70% water. But besides the water, the most abundant substance that your body is made of is called amino acids. Guess what that is? That's protein. You've got to have it. It's the basis for making any and all repairs to your system. It doesn't matter what system it is. Can you tell me an organ system, or a tissue, or a gland, or a cell that doesn't require protein? Well, I've studied this a long time. I haven't come across that. You need protein. So I'm suggesting, in order to get protein, you're going to have to take it in the form of food. Now, to me, if I have a person in front of me that's really, really weak and their digestive tract is in need of help, well, I'm going to try to recommend some fish and eggs, because typically those are much easier to digest and process. There is a reflux point found on the left side of the rib cage called Riddler's reflux. A lot of times there's a little divot on the rib, so it's always easy for me to find when I'm doing a physical examination. But when I press that point, it's real tender. I'm telling you where my mind goes. Two things. Either A, they're not getting enough protein, or B, they're not digesting it. And so if you're not digesting protein, this is where if you eat meat, you go, oh, great. This food's sitting in my stomach for 6 hours. It's so heavy, I can't break down beef. The chicken's too heavy. What I mean by heavy is you don't break it down efficiently. So you feel bloated, swollen. The food just sits there too long. It's because your body can't digest it and break it down. Now, for those people, a digestive enzyme is what you got to do. And that can be a game changer for you. And so if you take a digestive enzyme, you might go, oh my goodness, I'm actually absorbing my protein. And you know, the bottom line is, if you're not getting protein, what are you eating? Sugar. Sugar and carbohydrates. Whoever tried to explain to you that sugar doesn't wreck the body, I doubt they really know what they're talking about. It just doesn't even make sense. It's like a whole different type of logic. Somebody says, sugar doesn't cause diabetes. I'm going, are you kidding me? That's just outrageous. Okay. What else was I looking at here? I've got like about a million things. This is so much fun. I think I've read this one to you before, but this is just absolutely incredible. I'm going back to the original topic of good beneficial microbes and bacteria. That's what I started off with today. And so, what's one of the things you can take from it? Well, did you learn about avocados? Amen. Did you learn about taking probiotic-rich raw sauerkraut? Yes. If you walk away from today's program with those two things, then you just hit a home run. And if you do it, actually, there's a difference between just having an intention to do it and called action. This is a new phrase that you have never heard before. Action speaks louder than words. You never heard that, have you? I know. I'm just trying to be funny this morning. Of course. But at least having an intention. So if all you do today is write down these three things. How do I improve my health? Number one, exercise. walking and moving and working and yard work and lifting weights and doing jumping jacks and jump rope and yoga. When I say yoga, I just mean the mechanical, biomechanical motions and activities, body weight exercises, calisthenics, push-ups, riding a bicycle, mowing the yard with a push mower. You could just keep going on and on and on. All that can be really fun, but your body's going to have that. So if you want to have a healthy immune system and gut, guess what? You're going to have a certain level of exercise. Well, what else have we learned? Well, avocados can be a home run. What else have we learned? Raw fermented foods can be a home run for you. So if you have the intention to think about those, write them down on a sheet of paper and then do it. You know, there's something very powerful about saying what you want to do, because if you can say it, then you can write it down. The guy yesterday, Ray, he said, I heard what you said about writing in cursive to preserve my mind and memory. I'm going, hey, way to go. I got through to somebody. So, man, I came across a good one earlier. Okay, we're going to go with this one right here. This one's good, too. And so, still, we're on the same topic. And the reason I told you about the gut microbiome is because you cannot separate what happens within your digestive tract or your gut and the microbiome from the brain and the nervous system. You can't do it. That's why that study I read to you about the mice, they weren't sick, but they gave them antibiotics. And guess what it led to? They easily had viruses that attacked their brain. You know, I would say if somebody tells me they've had the Delta variant of the COVID, I would take that very, very seriously. Oh, my goodness. You don't have to convince me of anything. If you tell me that you've had COVID and you can't recover, you completely have my attention. I am all ears. I'm not going to poo-poo it and say it's all in your head and, you know, you're making it up that you have all these lingering, long-term, that's what they call the long haulers. You have all these symptoms where you have such brain fog and brain fatigue. That's because it's affected your brain. And it may be that the gut is one of the ways that we tap into improving your brain. Okay, let me read this to you right here. The gentleman's name is Demencio Pratico. I probably butchered that. My apologies. And he's talking about a diet called the Mediterranean diet. He's from Temple University, and he's shown that the consumption of extra virgin olive oil, it protects memory and learning ability, and it reduces the formation of amyloid beta plaques in the brain and these neurofibrillary tangles in the brain, classic markers of Alzheimer's. I'm quoting him. This is his words, Dr. Praticio. We found that when it detects, I can't even read that. We found that when it detects it olive oil, that doesn't make sense. That's a mistake right there. Sorry, let me try to rephrase that. He's saying that when you consume olive oil, that olive oil reduces brain inflammation. But most importantly, it activates a process called autophagy. I don't know if you've ever heard of autophagy before, but autophagy means cells start breaking down and they clear out toxic debris and deranged damaged protein and all this intracellular debris such as amyloid plaque and tau tangles found in Alzheimer's. Another way of saying it is, if you're breathing and eating food, you are producing waste. There's about two or three things that make the cells really happy. Your cells are going to be really happy when you give them water to drink. Water has to go into the cell. Every single good chemical reaction that takes place within your body, it takes place in the presence of water. Do you want to have optimal water? I think it's probable that I've talked to somebody this last week, that the only thing that touches their lips is a thing called Coke. When I say Coke, I mean the soft drink, Coca-Cola. No water consumption at all. Well, baby, that ain't water. The other thing that your cells like is they like nutrients. So water and nutrition has to go into the cell, but guess what has to come out of the cell? You got to get the garbage out. And so it's just the way it is. If you feed a dog or a cat cat food and give them water to drink, they're going to go tee-tee and poo-poo. It's just the way it is. I know that didn't sound right, but it's just the way that God designed the body. And so when you consume all extra virgin olive oil, it helps improve and activates autophagy. This is, autophagy means self-eating. It's the way or the process by which that your brain cleans itself and your body repairs and removes all the debris. Some people are now calling it, and it, I like it, it's called metabolic sediment. Metabolic sediment. If I handed you a glass of water and it was crystal clear, you'd say, absolutely, I'll drink that. I can tell you didn't put anything in there. It's just water. But if I handed you a glass of water and you saw that it was full of sediment, that it was murky and cloudy and there was dirt in it, it was discolored, and it reeked with a foul odor, you would say, no, thank you very much. I ain't doing that. That's because it's full of sediment. And that really is one of the greatest challenges that every human being is going to face as they age. They have this huge buildup of toxic waste with no way for it to get out. Well, here, I'm giving you a solution. Olive oil. And you're probably saying to me, well, I don't have any way that I can consume olive oil. Well, let me give you a clue. You can either A, make your own salad dressing out of the extra virgin, unfiltered, organic olive oil, or you could buy a salad dressing that's already ready to go. And you know, these salad dressings are pretty easy to look at. You just flip it around and you look at the label, and the label says, if the first thing that it mentions is high fructose corn syrup and then corn oil or soybean oil, that ain't what I'm recommending. Run away from that stuff. You will not improve your engine by putting soybean oil into it. Now, if they want to take soybean oil and make diesel fuel out of it to run a tank in the Ukraine, I'm okay with that. But your body needs olive oil. Yeah. You want your brain to be healthy? Think about it. So when you go to the health food store today, or go to any store that has high-quality salad dressing, it ain't high-quality salad dressing if it's made of corn, soybean, cotton seed, sunflower, safflower, all that's garbage for the most part. It is. Why don't you just go ahead and get olive oil? I think there's a brand that I like very, very much. It's called Bragg's. You ever heard of Bragg's amino acids or Bragg's apple cider vinegar? Yeah. It's great stuff. I think that's the first two ingredients on theirs. They have number one, extra virgin olive oil, and then number two, apple cider vinegar. How could you go wrong with that? Just go find the flavor that you like. And what do you do with that salad dressing? Well, guess what? You're going to put it on top of a salad. And if you eat a salad a day, oh my goodness, what you're doing is you're giving your body huge amounts of alkaline ash minerals. You make it really easy for your machinery to work right. That's called your cell. Okay, now get this one right here. So I'm just trying to convince you that olive oil is good for your mind, memory, cognitive abilities. That's one of the reasons why I think one study showed that if you have fried food, it takes about 100 days to work the trans fatty acids from the fried foods out of you. So you just got to do that next to none. That's like the sugar deal. If somebody's really, really sick and they have an infection, you just can't give them sugar. It's the way it is. I don't care if they say they want sugar. Don't be the one that gives them what they want. If they're so sick, let them get out of the, drive their car to the store and get their own. Anyway, we don't want to enable people, do we? Okay. This is a study published by Jason Steffener, who's a scientist at Concordia University in Montreal. And he's thrown a whole new light on this subject by showing that the more flights of stairs that a person climbs and the more years of school a person completes, the younger their brain appears to be physically. I don't know if you understand that, but when you climb a flight of stairs, that means you're going from one floor to the next floor. So the researchers found that brain age decreases by 0.58 years for every daily flight of stairs climbed between two consecutive floors in a building, and by 0.95 years for each year of education. I don't know if you get what that means, folks, but let me just break it down simply. When you move your body, you're flushing out toxic debris and waste. You're also carrying more oxygen and more blood and more nutrition to your brain cells, and they need it. Do you want your body to perform? Well, you got to move it. And the next thing is, learning is so critical. Now, let's just say that you haven't really completed any education because you had to go to work, maybe picking cotton or something like that when you were like 3 years old. Well, yes, there are many challenges in life, but that doesn't prevent you from educating yourself. And some people have a tremendous love of learning. Some people don't. Well, the ones that don't, what are you going to do about that? That's like somebody saying, oh, great, I have to go to class today. I have to do homework. Another person says, this stuff is so interesting and so exciting. I just love learning this. I can't wait to kind of work on my notes and do my homework when I get home. Or another way of saying it is, can I use church as my example? Somebody says, oh, great, I guess I got to go to church today. Well, you tell me, is that a good attitude? Or another person, you know, here's the other way it works. I hear this all the time, and I try not to make comments because I want to be encouraging. But I hear people say, Dr. Morgan, I can't go to church at all. And the reason why I can't go to church is because COVID is out there. And I say, well, does that prevent you from going to work and being in public? Oh, no, I can go to work, and I go out to eat all I want, and I go to this place and that place. I'm going, so your logic is what now? Or if a person says, you know, I just feel like I'm, but anyway, if you have an attitude that you really, really want to go to church because you're fed the Word of God and you have an incredible opportunity to sing songs of praise unto our Lord and you want to worship Him and partake of communion, and for all I know, maybe you really, really enjoy making a contribution when they take up collection. And maybe you like to participate in praying or going just to encourage and lift up people that are under stress, which that is never going to end, ever. As long as we're on earth, there's always going to be war. There's going to be famine. I think I read this week that in Somalia, which is right there on the Horn of Africa, worst drought they've had in over four decades. I think they've said like it was 42 or 43 years, the worst drought. And of course, it shows a picture of a herder, and all his animals are laying on the sand dead. And I hate that for him. Wouldn't that be distressing to be in a place where you have no rainfall? Or, I'm sorry, the rainfall is so low that it can't support crops or life. Oh my goodness. I feel so bad. I wish there was more that we could do. So, we are so blessed that we live here in this part of Texas where we have rain. I don't know if y'all noticed, but when I went outside this morning, like a little bit before 6 o'clock to drive to Jacksonville, there was rain all over the windshield. I thought, oh, thanks God. That was fabulous. I didn't know we were supposed to get rain last night. But evidently it rained and the streets were wet. Now, when I got to Jacksonville, it looked like there was a lot more moisture and rain on the ground than what there was in the Tyler area. But it's just a gift from God. Thank you so much, God, for giving us rain. We need it. So, it didn't say whether or not the researchers asked if the people that went to school complained or walked flights of stairs that complained. It didn't do that. Okay. Man, I just looked at the clock. Oh, boy. I've been talking for almost 45 minutes. If somebody would like to call and ask a question, the phone line, it's officially open. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. My name is Roy Morgan, D.C. Glad to help you if you want to call and ask a question. Now, my preference would be that it would be a very deep, detailed, sophisticated question. I'm only joking about that. That doesn't matter to me at all. If it's your question, that's the only thing that matters, is that you want an answer to something that you're thinking about. So it's really good. It's good to have problems, because when you have problems and challenges, you're kind of tasked with, what do I do to manage this? Now, there's people that I know of, before they make any decision with a problem, they're going to pray to God, and they're going to ask Him for help and wisdom with a solution. I like that. I have not always been good at doing that. I confess that freely. I need to work on that. Maybe I need to make myself a note right now. Roy, pray to God before you try to figure out any problem. Maybe that goes back to Proverbs. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Hello. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about bone meal. I bought some of that, and I noticed it's like 80% calcium. It does have a lot of magnesium. But I was thinking, well, that'd be like boiling bones. You know, people used to do that. I did as a kid. My parents did that. But I wondered about the bone meal with the calcium. Would that be a bad substance to take?
It really would. If you want to take the bone meal or blood meal and put it all over your garden and plants, that'd be a great idea right there. Let the plants process it.
Okay.
But typically bone meal, it's so heavily contaminated with lead. So I couldn't recommend it with a clear conscience, because you'll just build up lead, and lead is so counterproductive. Do you know your IQ will go down if you have lead?
Well, we don't want that.
I don't. And I don't want that for you either.
Well, I quit taking it. I took some, and I looked at the labels, and I thought, no, that's not really good to take.
But what you said earlier, I love that plan. If you told me you want to take like a chicken and cook it or boil it in a big pot with the skin and the bones and everything else, mm-hmm. Fine by me if you make your own bone broth from a chicken.
Good, yes. Well, you can buy that as well, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah. I mean, almost at every turn now, you can buy it, you can drink it all day long if you want to. I do remember the story of the cricket player from India that drank, 12 quarts a day of bone broth. He developed arthritis and a kidney stone, so the point is, you can't overdo it, just like you can drink too much water, but I really haven't seen that.
Well, when you see chicken, you know, served or sold, you know, I could mention Sam's and Walmart, you know, you don't know how that was raised. Now,
I think it's fair to assume that it was pumped full of massive antibiotics and hormones.
Yes. Well, you can buy grass-fed beef in Texas.
There you go. See, now you just offered a brilliant plan. That's a good solution. Grass-fed beef, grass pasture-raised organic chickens, or wild-caught fish. Do you know what my plan is if there's no food available this summer?
Okay, what is it?
Crawfish.
Oh, well.
And fishing. That's my plan.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Wait, do you have a pond in your backyard?
No, I don't.
Well, how am I going to come over and get crawfish then?
Well, I live on a lake.
Oh, you do?
Uh-huh.
So, do you have a plan to catch your own food? Does that mean you like to fish?
Well, as a kid, I used to fish on the Red River, go down there for days and fish.
Great memories, huh?
Yeah, I watched all those airplanes flying over, and I thought that'd be so wonderful. Then years later, I'd fly back from China or South Africa and come into Dallas and look down at the Red River and think, well, wouldn't that be nice to be down there fishing now?
Isn't that a great... All right, tell me, what's your greatest fish story on the Red River? I got to hear it.
Well, we slept out on the banks at night, and I got up one night to go use the bathroom, and I keep thinking, with one more step, I'd fallen into the river and died, drowned. As a little kid, I didn't know anything, see, so it scares me to death every time I think about it.
So, yeah, you go back how many years now?
Oh, well, too many.
A few?
A few, uh-huh.
Did you ever have military jets try to dive bomb you on the Red River?
No, I must have missed that.
Good.
There's a big base in Wichita Falls, Shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
course, they train a lot of foreign pilots there, German pilots, et cetera, and they're always flying over that area. A lot of good chemtrails are spraying out too.
Well, what's your favorite type of military aircraft?
Well, give me any type of jet, and it sounds pretty good.
Well, you tell me your favorite. Which one do you want to fly in today? Like an F-15E?
That sounds good to me.
You'll be the pilot, and I'll be there. I'll be your navigator. I'll say okay. Go this way.
We have a win-win, let me tell you.
Hey, that's great. I really appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir, very much.
Have a great day. Bye.
Okay.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open, 903-586-5257. I was on the highway one day, and in the rearview mirror, you could see A-10 Warthogs flying right behind me, and it was like, are they fixing to unleash the Gatling gun? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir.
How are you today?
I was going to add a little bit to what you were just talking about. When I lived in Alaska, I'd be shooting up there to watch those, watch our F-16s going up there to intercept those Russian bears that come over into our airspace.
You mean those Ruskies would try to get close to Alaska?
They'd play cat and mouse with them, and some of the pilots that I talked to up there in Bettles Field where I live, I said, well, we do it to them, too. We go over in their airspace, and they chase us back, too.
Do you reckon they ever had some close calls like, hey, this guy's not backing off?
I tell you what I have seen. I've been out field dressing a moose out in the wilderness, and I've seen those, you know, those big saucer planes, AWACS.
Oh yeah, that does all the communications and such, radar.
Yeah, radar. I've had them fly real low over me, checking out my moose up there in the up above the Arctic Circle.
So they started circling, saying, "Command and control, we got a moose at 400 meters."
Yeah, they did that. They did that a couple of times, and
I can tell you what would have happened if you were actually cooking the moose. As far as 25 moose steaks right there by yourself, they would have landed that AWACS plane on the tundra. Am I right?
Yeah, they used to come up to Bettles Field where I live and land those Cobra gunships and stuff on maneuvers.
Oh, wow.
And I'd go out there and talk to them. But they'd catch me running my dog team up there, and they'd play cat and mouse. They'd come over the mountain, peek at me, and then go back down.
Oh, that's funny.
They could get away with stuff up there in the Arctic where they wouldn't get caught doing it.
Yeah, I've heard they have extremely strict rules they have to live by. They're not really allowed to do some of those things, right?
They've got some pretty good leeway up there when it's in the wilderness. I've had them fly over me when I've been out on a canoe trip. Treetop, wake you up in the morning, you talk about scared, about jump through the top.
How loud was that action?
It was real startling.
You don't need an alarm clock, do you?
Not when you're out there and they fly over in those maneuvers. That's
now,
for sure.
Now, I need to ask you a personal question. Did one of those Cobra gunships take out that moose for you? Is that how you got the moose?
No, I had to do all that work myself.
Oh.
You go down to Brookshire's and go shopping. Well, I had to get up there and hunt my moose. That was my winter's course.
All right. What is the most delicious meat that you've had from Alaska?
Moose. I'm real fond of it. I like it. I've eaten caribou. I've eaten...
Well, how do you cook the moose? What's your favorite way?
Just about any way you want to cook it. I did too much frying, but I did... You know, I baked it.
Well, how'd you fry it? Did you just fry it in a skillet with butter?
Yeah, and then bear, we would eat bear up, black and brown bear, because the salmon didn't come up that far to Wiseman where I lived, and they wouldn't taint the meat.
See, I know, but when you say bear inside of me, I kind of pull back and I think, man, how can that taste delicious?
It really, really is. It's
Are you like, serious?
Yeah, really.
It's okay.
Brown bear is not bad up there above the Arctic Circle because the salmon don't come up that far. It doesn't.
So, all right. Now, if they're loaded up on salmon, what does that do to the bear meat?
Yeah, that makes a tank kind of a taste to it.
Okay. What's your favorite fish from Alaska?
I fished with the natives on those fish wheels out on the Yukon River, and I like salmon. I'm real fond of that.
And those fish, they just kind of get themselves caught in those fish wheels, right?
Yeah, those rotating wheels in the river there in the Yukon. And
okay, I know this is not a great question, but let me ask, have you ever eaten seal or whale?
I've eaten muktuk, and
what is muktuk?
Oh, that's whale.
I hear that McDonald's is coming out with a muktuk burger.
Dr. Morgan, you'd be surprised, but seal oil does not sound tasty, but when it's 40 below or colder, it's like putting on a heater drinking that seal oil.
Are you serious? So you mean that'll just warm you right up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. So if it's 40 below zero, some seal oil would be a delicious snack to warm your bones, huh?
Your body just craves that seal oil, that any kind of a grease or anything like that.
You know, I'm thinking this is God's great design. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the Eskimos, you know, that's what they are.
Okay, I'm going to ask a really, really dumb question, but I need your help, okay?
Okay.
Are there any complete, and this is not meant to be negative, but are there any total vegetarians in the Arctic Circle?
I'm sure there are. I just never did meet any.
Okay, well, I'm just curious. But would you say for the most part when it's freezing cold, you've got to rely on that rich source of fat just to survive?
You've got to have that good food to survive. You've got to keep the calories coming in.
How much, can you tell me where your secret gold mine is? Nobody's listening. It's just me today. What's the name of the creek that you would pan and pull out the huge nuggets?
Okay, up above the Bettles Field. Bettles
okay, Black. Hang on. Let me write that down. Now, are we in Alaska or the Arctic Circle? Which one is it?
Yeah, we're in Alaska.
Okay, Bettles Field. And which direction do I go?
All right, if you go up the Koyukuk River.
Okay, I'm with you.
You get up to the John River. I know where there's gold in that those bedrock up there, but the only time you can dive for it is if it freezes up, when everything's freezing up. And the water table goes down and the crystal clear water because there's no more silt coming down.
Hang on. Bring a wetsuit and seal oil. I'm with you.
Yeah, a full dry suit.
A full dry suit?
Yeah.
It sounds like so easy anybody could do it.
it's only about a week of opportunity, and I do know where gold is.
Okay.
I would have to die for it, but I've got to trust somebody up in the boat running the sluice box that I can trust.
Well, that's gonna be impossible because they're gonna be so busy on Facebook they'll forget about you.
They can't pick those nuggets out while I'm down there shooting a suction drink.
Oh, great! I knew that you would find a way to spoil my dreams today, but I'm so disappointed.
Oh no!
Hey, do you wish you were back there right now?
My age would not allow me to do what I used to do. I run dog teams at 60, 70 below zero. I couldn't do that anymore.
Okay. What was your hunting rifle that you killed the moose with? What was the caliber?
30-06.
It's hard to beat. What size bullet did you use?
Let me see. Was that a 360? I can't remember now.
Okay. Well, that's all right. But it was a 30-06, right?
Yeah. 260 grain. I forgot.
Did you hold your eye really close to the scope that way when the recoil, the scope would like pop you in the face real hard? Did you do that?
You learned that as a kid. You don't do that.
What did you do about water up there?
I would go right out the Koyukuk River and chop a hole in the ice and keep the styrofoam over it and get the water right out of the Koyukuk River.
And you would drink it straight?
Yeah, the most tasty water you could ever drink.
Okay, I'm learning lots today. Well, unfortunately, we're all out of time, but I've enjoyed every bit of the conversation. You call anytime, buddy.
I'll call next week.
I hope you have a great, great Saturday and a great weekend.
And you too, Dr. Morgan.
Thank you. Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I have really enjoyed being with you today. This is Health Essentials. I'm Roy Morgan. Glad to be with you. Lord willing, I'll be back this time next week on Health Essentials.